Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another privilege and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. If you have your Bibles, open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. That's Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 6. And we're going to read our foundational scripture on the lesson that we're teaching entitled, We Must Know and Understand the Reality of God's Word. And we have a subtitle, which is The 6 Principles of Obtaining Strong Faith. Amen. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. So we have a very strong introduction here in this verse. It says, but without faith, it is impossible. So we see here that faith must be important because it tells us without it, we cannot please our Heavenly Father. Prayer is good. Worship is good. Praise is good. And fellowship is good. But in terms of priority, faith is number one because it's faith is that pleases God. Amen. So if we want to please our Heavenly Father, we must know and understand the principles of faith. Amen. Now let's continue our teaching on You must know and understand the reality of God's word. And again, our subtitle is The Six Principles of Obtaining Strong Faith. Now, let's go over our six principles. Principle number one is we must know and understand the reality of God's word. Principle number two, we must know and understand the reality of our redemption in Christ. Number three, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Principle number four, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Principle number five, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. And finally, principle number six, we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. Now, these are the six principles that if you know and understand them, it will give you the wisdom into developing strong faith. And, you know, I've entitled this, you know, we must know and understand, because you can know something and not understand it. Amen. So we want to know God's word. And most importantly, we want to understand it, because, see, when we understand God's word totally, the way God sees it is the way we see it. The way God says it is the way we should say it. The way God does it is the way we should do it. And the results God gets is the same results we should get. Because why? We understand the reality of God's word. Amen. Now, we have learned that there are different degrees or levels of faith that a person can be operating under in their understanding of the word. There is weak faith, little faith, mutual faith, shipwreck faith, great faith, and the level we want to eventually operate at, and that is strong faith. Go to the book of Romans chapter 12. Again, that's Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. And it says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. Amen. So we see here, God is telling us that we should think highly of ourselves, but just don't think more highly than we ought to. Amen. And then it says, but to think soberly. Soberly is an interesting word, because soberly means, and in this case, it's used as a verb, and it means to think soberly or to be sober, of a sound mind. God wants our minds to be working at the highest level of its capacity. Amen. And so we have to have a sober mind in order to do that. And we see here that God has given to each one of us that are born again Christians the same measure of faith. God has given to each one of us that same measure of faith, because he is a just God. He has not given one more than the other. We all start out with the same measure. Amen. Yes, we all start out with the same measure. If he had given anyone more measure of faith than the other did, then he would be a liar, because the word tells us that God does not show partiality. Please go to the book of Acts, chapter 10. Again, that's Acts, chapter 10, and we're going to read verse number 34. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. So we see here that God shows no partiality. What he does, for one, he's obligated by his word. Everything being equal, that he's obligated to do what he says for one, he has to do for the other. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 10, and we're going to read verse number 17. And it says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." So the word distinctly tells us that God shows no partiality. So the faith that has been given to us, the measure of faith, is all equal. Now, what you do with that measure given to you is up to you. It's on you. You have to develop it to the point where you can operate in strong faith. So how does one develop strong faith, one might ask? How does one take that measure given to him and develop it into strong faith? Well, it's just like a person who wants to develop his physical body. You know, he might go start off at the gym and he start lifting weights. And then as he gradually continue to lift, starts lifting weights, he might start off at 50 pounds. And he does that maybe for 2 weeks. He's consistently lifting 50 pounds to get his biceps and his stomach muscles and his chest muscles developed. And then after a week or so, then he goes to 75 pounds. He's consistently increasing the amount of pounds that he used to lift. So he's consistently developing his body. And so that's what you have to do with the Word of God. You have to consistently be in the Word of God by reading, studying, and prayer. Amen? So let's look at our first principle, and I believe it will give us some insight into the answer of my question. How does one take the measure given to him and develop it into strong faith? So, first principle is we must know and understand the reality of God's word. God's word is true. Now, reality is an interesting word because it means the world or the state of things as they actually exist, as opposed to an idealistic or national idea of them. A thing that is actually experienced or seen. That's interesting. It says a thing that is actually experienced or seen. That's interesting because there's a scripture that tells us this. It says things that are actually experienced or seen. That's what reality is. But wait a minute. Remember, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." It says, "For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So wait a minute. If reality is, one of the meanings means, a thing that is actually experienced or seen, well, how can we look at something that is not seen? Amen. It's very simple. We look at that through the eyes of faith. Hallelujah. We look at it through the eyes of faith. Amen. God's word, we have to understand, is spirit. God's word is life. You must get into the word. You must continue in the word. You must consume it and get it down in your spirit so that you may know and understand the living reality of God's word. Let me repeat that. God's word is spirit. God's word is life. You must get into the word, continue in the word, consume it, get it down in your spirit so that you may know and understand the living reality of God's word. Amen. God's word is a living reality. Now, please go to Joshua chapter 1, the book of Joshua, You found Joshua chapter 1? Then let's read verse number 8. And it says, this book of the law, and the law is God's word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. So here we see the prophet Joshua saying that, hey, this book of the law should not depart from my mouth, but we should meditate in it day and night. And then not only that, we must be doers of the word, because it says, and then you may observe to do accordingly to all that is written in it. So we not only must read the word, hear the word, and then we must be doers of the word. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you hear the word, the more it is consumed by you and gets into your spirit man, and it will cause you to act on the word, causing you and causing your faith to become strong in your resolve. Amen. The word tells us that the just, and the just means those that have been declared righteous, shall live by his faith. Amen. The just shall live by his faith. Now, we live 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Am I correct on that? Well, then you should be developing your faith 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Every day, your faith should increase. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Scripture informs us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we can quote that verse or that scripture that we just read like this. So faith comes by truth, and truth by the word of God. Because the word tells us Jesus is the way, the truth. And when we read the Bible, we're reading the things of God. We're reading about Christ, who he was, who he is, what we are, what we can do, and what we have in Christ, right? So, if the scripture says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and if we know that Jesus is the truth, then we can say, hey, then faith comes by truth, and truth by the word of God. So the more you hear the word, the stronger your faith becomes, and the hand of God will consistently move on your behalf. Amen. It will consistently move on your behalf. Don't ask me how it works. All I know, it just works. You just have to be consistent in your understanding and in your obedience to the things of God. Principle number two, we must know and understand the reality of our redemption in Christ. Now, redemption really is the redemptive work of Christ, bringing deliverance through his death at Calvary and from the guilt and power of sin. We've been redeemed from that, of what Jesus did for us. Amen. You must know that you have been redeemed. You are not going to be redeemed. You are not in the process of being redeemed. But the Bible tells us that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you have been redeemed. Amen. You have been redeemed. And so you must know that. You must know that you have been redeemed. So please go to the book of Ephesians, please. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to see a scripture here that tells us about our redemption in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read verse number 7. And it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So, again, if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, You are redeemed. You're not going to be redeemed. You are redeemed. Amen. Now go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And we're going to read verse number 24. Romans 3, 24. And it says this. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are redeemed. Once you have received Jesus Christ, you have been redeemed. And this is something that you have to know. You don't think about it, you know it. And finally, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and let's read verse 11 and 12. And it says this, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and the more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, but not of this creation, but with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So we have eternal redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to know that that is an actual spiritual fact. Amen. Now, when I first heard this talk, I did not completely understand what the word was actually saying. But I did have a heart to learn. And that's all God wants, is a willing vessel to do his will. Amen. That's all he wants from us, to be obedient to his word. I say to you, to know the reality of your redemption in Christ is an actual fact. It is. It is an actual fact. That's the challenge that presents itself. And until it gets down into your spirit, inside of you, you will never be able to obtain strong faith because you will not be thinking soberly minded. We know that you can think soberly because the word tells us we can. All you have to do is to do it. Amen. Now, principle number 3, and this is where we're going to begin a new principle today. And that principle is we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. You must know and understand that this is not a game that we are playing. It's not an idea. It's not a New Age philosophy. It's not a figment of someone's imagination. And it's not a denominational decree. But you must know the fact that you have been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? This knowledge will have a tremendous influence upon the way you live your life. Amen. Many Christians live a life that is below the standard that our Heavenly Father desires for them to live. They live a life below their rightful privileges in Christ because they do not understand, realize, or sadly, having never been taught that they have been made a new creature. They think they are still the way they used to be. They do not understand that they are new creatures. You have to start seeing yourself as God sees you. You cannot and you should not see yourself as Satan sees you. And you certainly should not see yourself as another man sees you. But you should see yourself as God sees you. Until you learn to see yourself as God sees you, you will never be able to obtain strong faith. Amen. You will always live a life that is defeated spiritually, and you will never rise to your spiritual but brought privileges. You must see yourself as God sees you, a new creature in Christ. Amen? And that's the way you have to see yourself. And many Christians don't do that because they haven't been taught of who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, and what they can do in Christ. Now, let's look at what the Word says about us. Now, understand, when we read these particular scriptures, we are showing you that God's opinion of you is this. Let's see how he sees you. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to read verse number 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, this scripture says that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Well, you know what? The clock is telling me we're just about out of time. But I thank you for joining us for our radio broadcast. But please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7, it simply says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas, 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.